make no mistake about it, do not believe the lies. Do not allow yourself to be deceived about the founders of the United States of America and their purposes in founding this nation. John Adams, in 1775, 1 year before what we commemorate tomorrow in the Declaration of Independence, he made this statement, I quote, "Statesmen may plan and speculate for liberty, but is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand." Now, it doesn't matter what doubters, atheists, agnostics, and skeptics of our day may say, that's what John Adams said. James Madison, in 1778, just 2 years after what we commemorate tomorrow, he says, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to sustain ourselves." Now listen to his last words. "According to the Ten Commandments of God."
Amen.
Now, that's what James Madison said. It doesn't matter what the judges of the Supreme Court say. It does not matter from the president on down what is said about this country, why it began, why it's here, and what was intended. James Madison said it is intended to be based on the Ten Commandments. How can anybody in sincerity study our history and not realize the Christian influence behind it? I'll tell you how. In my beginning statement, I said, how can anybody in sincerity? They are not in sincerity when they read the statements of history such as I have and will be reading to you, and then try to say that it wasn't for religious purposes. Lies, lies, lies. Yes, there were additional purposes. It was not the only purpose, but it was the underriding, the overshadowing purpose of all of the rest. Then in 1835, a French statesman and author visited the United States of America. Now in 1835, we are just 59 years after the Declaration of Independence. That's pretty close to it, isn't it? That's long enough that if there was a major flaw, it would have showed up. I never get his name right. Alexis de Tocqueville. Thank you. It's a French name. They spell in English different than they pronounce, especially to a Pennsylvania Dutchman. Here's what he said, I quote, "Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Is it not ironic that Donald Trump's theme is make America great again? Now, this is not an endorsement of Donald Trump. I'm simply saying it has been recognized that America is not great.
Right.
It is not coincidental that the morality of America is on the decline. That America would be, according to Alexis de Tocqueville, be able to say that it's not good. And that's why it's not great. The good that counts is the good that comes from God. For all other goodness pales in comparison to His given righteousness. It's in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 that we read the words, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, our unrighteous acts, our breaking of the law of God, our disobedience of the Ten Commandments of God, like the wind, have taken us away." A leaf fades, falls to the ground, as they will come the fall season. And then the wind blows, and what happens to those leaves? They blow away. And he tells us that all of our righteousness is just like that. It's not good. It's not good. It was the Apostle Paul who told a young pastor named Titus that personal salvation comes not by works of righteousness which we have done. Why doesn't salvation come by the good things we do? Because the prophet told us, by the prompting of God Almighty, that all of the good that we do, all of our righteousness, is just as filthy rags. It does not meet the required standard. And we have some pretty good people. We have some pretty moral people. There are some very honest people. But all of that goodness, that morality, that honesty, whatever kind of goodness we would speak of, it is not sufficient. Why? Because it must be evaluated by the standard of God's goodness. And God's goodness is so high, so pure, so only. How do you describe it as so only? It's the only goodness that is effective. Any others does not work. So he told Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Not by what we've done, but by his mercy, and washed us, he says, he saved us by his mercy and saved us by the washing of regeneration. We were dirty with sin, filthy rags, dirty with sin. Even the good things we did were dirty with sin. But God will wash us. And he does wash us. The washing of regeneration. He makes us new.
Yes, thank you.
Okay? And he makes us clean. And he says, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He not only uses the Holy Ghost, third person of the Trinity, as an agent in the washing of regeneration and cleansing, but then he puts the Holy Ghost in us,
amen,
and now he keeps us clean. That's why 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. That's not the sin that happens when you get saved. That's the sin that you did yesterday.
That's right.
Or this morning. or the sin you'll do this afternoon. You say, you must think we're a pretty bad bunch of people. No, you're just an ordinary bunch of people. And I feel very much at home here. Okay? Because I have things that I need to confess to Jesus. And I'm so thankful He promised He'll cleanse me. Oh, it may not be a big thing. I haven't robbed Walmart. I haven't even robbed Little Caesar's Pizza. That's near where we live. So I get there frequently, and I've never even robbed for a pizza. But oh, some of the thoughts that flash through my mind. I had a stepfather. One of his favorite sayings was, is you can't help if a bird flies over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest there. There's a lot of thoughts that may come to mind. Just don't let them stay there. Yep. You say, how do I get rid of them? If we confess our sins.
That's right.
It's amazing. You can't think wrong and think Bible. Mm-hmm. You can't think wrong and do right. If you do right, it's going to take care of the others. But this old nature, this old flesh, it thinks, man, if I can just sit there a little bit, and I'll just enjoy it for a little bit. No. Gospel songwriter wrote, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you ever thought. We'll have to get that song. I don't know all of the words. And the way they're put together is good. We get Pat back here and we'll have to sing that song. Oh, but a song that we do sing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Daniel Webster said, whatsoever makes men good, whatsoever makes men good Christians, makes them good citizens. Well, the whatever that makes them good is the matchless, meritless, marvelous grace of God. And that's what God gave to us when He gave us that regeneration and the person of the Holy Spirit. He gave us that kind of goodness. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, many of you are familiar with it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Why not? Because all our righteousness is as filthy rags. By today's supposed standards of the separation of church and state, there are people and people groups who are trying, and to a great extent, they are achieving the removal of God's place in our government. They've taken the Ten Commandments out. And the judge, which state was it down south? Alabama, Arkansas? There was a judge who eventually lost his judgeship because of his stand for the Ten Commandments. John Quincy Adams, just 45 years after 1776. It was in 1821. You see, you say 1800s. Well, that's a whole other century. That's a whole other 100 years. And so, in 1776, well, in 1821, and it may seem like it's a long time. No, it was just 45 years later. He said, the glory, oh, by the way, he was the sixth president of the United States. This is the kind of leadership that started our country. The glory of the American Revolution is this. Now, the American Revolution, they're trying to say, well, there were lots of revolutions, and the American Revolution really wasn't all that great because what we were doing was rebelling against the country, and maybe what we ought to have is another revolution and rebel against what we have now. No, no, no. Don't fall for that line. Don't be deceived. John Quincy Adams said, the glory of the American Revolution is this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity. It said the glory of America, the greatness of America, is that it not only took principles of government, which our pastor has described many a time, the principles of government, and combined it with the principles of Christianity, those Ten Commandments, and other great truths from the Scriptures. And he says, the glory of America, it's indissoluble. Now, I know what that means, but I don't use that every day in my, you know, I'm not talking to my wife and say, well, that was an indissoluble thing. Means it can't be dissolved. Okay? Can't be dissolved. But when Alexis de Tocqueville said, America will cease to be great when it ceases to be good. The goodness, he observed, was from the pulpits that were aflame with what? The Scriptures, the gospel, the grace of God. Be assured, I'm well aware that not everyone in the days of our country's beginning were born again Christians. Some of them were so hell-bent on doing wrong, they ruined their lives and are burning today in an eternal hell. But not everybody was a born-again Christian. But we call it a Christian nation, not because everybody was Christian, but we call it a Christian nation because it was founded on the principles and truth of Scripture. I've read to you just three or four quotes. There are so many, many more. There are books that can be bought, DVDs that can be watched by men who study into the history of our country and understand the types of things that I haven't even scratched the surface to present. Our nation is built on Bible principles, and many, many men, thousands, yea, hundreds of thousands through the years, have shed their blood in wars to secure the freedom that we have today. I like the saying that Memorial Day, July 4th, they are not holidays. They are not just a picnic day. They are day to remember some great significant events in the history of our country. Now, within a family, there may be gatherings because, you know, tomorrow you don't have work. And so there'll be family gatherings. There's nothing wrong with that. So many people forget why they're getting together. Why do we have fireworks? They began to be a memory of what we sang about in the Star Spangled Banner. If you please, they were symbolic of some of the words that we sang there, what was seen during that battle. Oh, but today it just becomes a place to go, a place to see some things. Do not take your national freedom lightly. And without the willing sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, you and I who are saved would be living in the bondage of sin. And any of you who are sitting here in the church service and you do not know beyond a shadow of doubt that you are going to heaven when you breathe your last breath, you can be saved. You not only can be saved, you need to be saved. And Jesus shed his blood to give you spiritual freedom. Jesus fought the battle of sin. And only he could do so. Do not take your spiritual freedom for granted. Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross so that we could have his atonement work in us. You say, I don't understand those things like atonement work. Do you understand that you're lost and headed to hell? Do you understand that you don't have the peace of God in your heart?
Come on.
Then you just turn to Jesus and trust him as your Savior and depend upon him. And let me tell you something. You'll learn what atonement is. You'll experience atonement. And eventually your head will catch up with what it means. And you say, well, I might be a slow learner. So am I. Okay? So am I. I write notes in my Bible. I marvel. Pastor doesn't write anything in his Bible. When he gives me a definition of something, I get my pen out and I write it in there. You say, why do you do that? Because I can't remember. And I know it because it's true. I'm going to turn. I got two verses, and then we're going to have communion this morning. You could tell that. We're going to remember the blood that Jesus Christ shed to give you spiritual freedom. If you're saved, you thank him for it. If you're not saved, then you need to get saved. You can do it right now, right where you sit. It's just a matter of, say, if when you're sincere and genuine in your heart, you just tell God. You don't get saved by praying. You communicate to God by praying. And what you're going to communicate to him is that you know you're lost, you know your sins have separated you from him, and you want forgiveness and you want him to come and live in your life. And if you pray that to God silently in your heart, you know what God promised he's going to do? He's going to save you. You say, well, how do I know it'll work? Well, how do you know it won't? You aren't going to know if it'll work or not unless you try it. Some of you might say, well, I tried that before and it didn't work. Well, try it again.
Amen. Your whole heart. Amen.
Yeah. Well, I took Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption. Another one of them big words. You say, I don't understand what it means. You know, I'm not sure I could give you a one-sentence definition of it either. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Something that's redeemed is bought back. You older folks remember green stamps and yellow stamps, top value stamps. Yeah, where Big Lots is. Not Big Lots. What's the name of that store? Up in the hill. The one that you buy building supplies at. Bargain Outlet. That used to be a top value stamp store. You'd be saving stamps. You'd go to the grocery store and they'd give you stamps when you bought. And now you get reward points. That's nothing new. It's just more complicated. And so they give you stamps. You put them in a book. You got enough books of them for what you wanted to buy. You'd go to that store and you'd show them in the catalog what you want. Well, you got a little pencil and you got a little piece of paper and you'd write out what you wanted. You'd give it to them. Somebody would run to the back and get it off the shelf and bring it out to you. You redeemed it. You had the price that was needed to get that item. Jesus has the price that was needed to get you the item of his love and salvation. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Romans 5, verse 8 and 9. Familiar Bible verses. But God commendeth his love toward us. How did he do that? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why did he do that while we were sinners? Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Why? So that you might be saved. Much more than being now justified. Another one of them big words. Being now justified by his blood. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. The blood of many a military person was spent so we'd have national freedom. But more significant, because it does not matter. There are people living under government systems that are atrocious, and would scare us to think that we'd live under it someday. And yet they're born again. They got saved and they're living the Christian life. Listen, you ought to get saved not because we live in America and America had people shed their blood. You ought to get saved because God loves you and you need salvation.
Yes, sir.
And if you are saved, we need to live for Him because we're saved. There isn't anything more disgusting than to see a Christian who knows better, nevertheless, go on living in sin. And when you say something to them, they say, well, I know I oughtn't to. I'm a little backslidden right now. No, you're not a little backslidden. You're a lot backslidden. You're out of the will of God. 1 John chapter 2 verse 28 tells that if you don't get right with God as a Christian, you don't get yourself living for God the way you should, what's going to happen is you're going to stand before Him in judgment and you're going to be ashamed.
Yes.
You say, well, I thought He washes away all tears. He's going to do that eventually, but in the meantime, you're going to stand there and you're going to be ashamed.
Yes, sir.
I need to end this sermon. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember what Jesus did for us. Pastor, if you'll come and lead it, please. You bet. I'm glad to have a pastor.
Amen.
I know I keep saying that over and over again. And I'm going to keep saying it.